So, good morning, Rabbi Yisai, and our limud of Chofetz Chaim every day is the zchus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Yishtav Refuah Bekorov, Masech Shal Choyle Yisrael. Rabbi Yisai, he needs it, believe me. If anybody's got time to say Tehillim, it's Kedai. So, the Chofetz Chaim in Hilchos Rechilos, Klal Dalad, Sif Aleph, taught us two halachas. The first halacha was that you can be over the Isra Achilas by speaking badly about someone, even though you don't know anything about it, you're not telling a Maisa Shehoyon, you're not relating a story that happened, you're not relating an incident. Like we said, for instance, where somebody comes out of his Din Torah, he lost, and somebody says to him, you know, maybe the other person who said it to him considers himself a bigger Talmud Chochom than the Dayanim, and thinks the Dayanim have got the Psak wrong. But heyos, that in the normal course of events, there is no appeal against the Psak Din, and the person himself had accepted the Psak Din, and he believed that he accepted the Psak Din, he was going to pay up. And then that would have been the end of the story. There would have been no... Like this, he's sowing the seeds of discontent. He's making the person unhappy. He's making the person unhappy. He's making him start to doubt whether or not he is chayev or isn't chayev, whether the Dayan got it right or got it wrong. That person is creating a rift between this Balabos and the Dayanim by what he's saying, and he's not actually saying that he was there and that he heard the... There's no event that he's relating, there's no story that he's telling. He's just criticising, and that criticising himself is sowing the seeds of discontent, the seeds of rift between the people, and therefore that discord is... That's the Yisr of Rechilas, to say words which are going to cause a gap between two different people. The second case we mentioned was where that was in the same sif. They both came in the same sif. Actually, this came first. And that was that even if you're repeating something which has been said already, and I've heard it already, and I know it already from someone else, but you tell me that that Lashon Hara or that Rechilus, then the Yissa is there the second time and the third time and the fourth time. Each time I hear it over and over again from someone else, each person is over Rechilus. I saw an example given of, let's say somebody is negotiating to rent a flat in a block. Negotiating to rent a flat, let's say in Windsor Court. And the negotiations are going well. This guy has got a flat, he wants to rent him. This person wants the thing on, they're ready, they're preparing, they're getting ready, they've agreed a deal between the agent. And then one day the agent calls him up and says, I regret that we've let the flat to someone else. What? How can that be? It's not, you know, it can't be. And he's really, really annoyed now with the owner of the flat. He led me along, he strung me along, and meanwhile he was negotiating with someone else, as a chutzpah, etc., etc. Now, he happens to be friendly with the sons of the owner of the flat. And he happens to mention, when he's talking to one of the sons of the owner of the flat, says, you know, Mamash, I don't understand what your father did to me. Mamash chutzpah, I was so looking forward to moving in. We'd agreed terms, we'd already prepared everything, and I was, you know, and then suddenly he turns around to me, what, because somebody offered him more money? So the son wants to defend his father, so he says, it wasn't my father. He said, there was a meeting of the residence committee in Windsor Court, and one of the other residents said that they don't really fancy having your family as a tenant in the block. They're not good people, they're noisy, they're disrespectful, they've heard from other places, v'chole, v'chole, v'chole. Yeah. Pliny vetoed your renting in this block. Yeah. So he's doing that in order to shift the blame away from his father. So it wasn't my father that backed out. He was told by the committee not to let... to your father, not to accept you as a tenant, so he had no choice in the matter. So by shifting the blame off his father, he's now shifted the blame onto the person who vetoed. So it's pure rechilas, right? Until now, the fact that he was blaming the lender, or blaming the letter, the landlord, yeah, was supposition. He was assuming that the guy backed out for some reason or another, and he wasn't happy with the idea. But now he's been told by the son of the landlord that it wasn't his father, but it was Pliny who vetoed the letting. Yeah, that is pure achilas, because now I the person who was going to let the flat, the person who was going to rent, I'm now broigers with the person who vetoed my thing. So now comes along the second son, who doesn't know that the first son had already said so. So the second son comes along, and the second son says, he didn't know that the first son already told me that it was vetoed on a member of the committee. And he tells me the story again. And he says, you should know it wasn't our father. It wasn't our father who stopped your letting. It was a member of the committee, and his name is Pliny, and he was the one who blocked it. So I'm hearing the same thing second time, but from another person. The second person is also Eivor Achilles. Yeah, because the Chofetz Chaim says, the more times you hear it, the more upset you get. So it's human nature. Now, I'm not 100% convinced that both of the sons are telling me the truth. Because maybe each of those sons is doing it in order to deflect the blame off the father. But maybe it's not actually true. So I go to another member of the committee, and I say to that other member of the committee, is it true that my potential letting of this flat was vetoed by Pliny? And he says, yes. So now I've had a third rechilas, right? I've heard it for the third time, and now I've heard three times over from three different people that it was the member of the committee that vetoed my renting of the flat, says the Chofetz Chaim, three times rechilas. Because each time you hear it, each person who's saying it had no right to say the rechilas, and me, who was mekabelit three times, I have no right to be mekabelit. And the fact that I've already heard it once doesn't mean that it isn't rechilus when I hear it a second time or a third time. Because it says, kol she yisrabe, every time that a person hears the rechilus again and again, it's either making him even more upset, or it's reminding him. So maybe he got over it, and maybe he got past it, and maybe he thinks, oh, but then, a day later, somebody else comes along and reminds him yet again and yet again. And that is going to keep the sinner, that's going to keep the discontent and the unhappiness that he has with the person who vetoed his letting. And therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, three times Rechilas, three times Averus, three times who knows what, and therefore it's Seposhet Nishkadai. So even if somebody knows a fact already, nevertheless, if you repeat it to him, then you have a new Issa Rechilas again.
Started the Torah Way Notice, London, Tuesday, Kofei Cheshvan, 26th November. Rabbi Donia Lo Shlita, Erevin explained part 4. What is a Rishus HaRabim? This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Stimlich by Sum Sanasum of Alexander Lewin, Nerio, and Stimlich Tichia. Pastor takes place tomorrow, Mitzah Shemi, Rotzen Shimni, Baith, the Mom Israel, the Shevili Selov is Fust, Ashuwem, Achayrem, Alkosh, Achzul, Botem, the Shalom, Bim Heiro.
So I just bought my Rajma instead of my Ritva. There we go. Good morning, my boys. Good morning. So what is the Rishus HaRabim? Last week we discussed what is Rishus HaYochid on the Raisa level, and also we touched on the Rabbonon requirements to make a place a Rishus HaYochid. This week we'll talk about what is a Rishus HaRabim. So as we know, we learn the description, the definition, the Hagdorah of everything to do with Hilchos Shabbos from the Mishkan. So what do we find in Chazal regarding the description of Rishus HaRabim that is learned from Mishkan? So there are, correct me if I'm wrong, There are three Gemaras about it. Let's have a brief look at these Gemaras. Three Gemaras which can help us to understand, three Gemaras that each touch on a different element of what constitutes a Rishus HaRavim. Gemara number one, that all the Gemaras in Perek HaZirik, which is one of the most, if not the most important Perek in Shas to understand the Melocha of Hoitzah, Perek HaZirik. So, Perek HaZirik opens with the question as to where do we learn Hoitzah from? Where do we learn the Melocha of Hoitzah from the Mishkan? Says the Gemara, right at the top of Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, Hoitzah Gufa Heicha Ksiva. Where do we find Hoitzah described in the Torah? So we mentioned this actually the first time we spoke. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Om Makrov, Yitzav Moshe, by Aviru Kol B'machane. That Moshe said to all of Klal Yisrael, don't bring your kelim from your houses into my area. Because of the Malach of Hoitzah, the Gemara describes how we know it's talking about Hoitzah. But either way, says the Gemara, Moshe Heichon Hava Yosef, where was Moshe Rabbeinu sitting? The Machane Leviya. As we know, the Machane of Klal Yisrael was divided into different parts. Machane Leviya, Machane of the Shai Yisrael, Machane Kehuna, etc. Machane Shechina. So Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting the Machane Leviya. Machane Leviya, Rishus HaRabim Havi. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in Rishus HaRabim. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael, don't bring from your houses into Machane Leviya. Now, says Rashi, Machane Leviya Rishus HaRabim Hi. What made Machane Leviya Rishus HaRabim? Shehoyu Hakol Metsuyin Etzel Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone was around. Everyone was Metsuyin. Everyone hung around. Everyone was there to be found next to, with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Gemara number one. Gemara number two, Tzadi Vov Omud Beis. The Gemara on Tzadi Vov Omud Beis. Sorry. The Gemara on Tzadi Ches Omud Aleph. Gemara on Tzadi Ches Omud Aleph says the following statement: Omar of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. A marvet dalet amois b'shul rabbi mekoira potter. The fisha einoi doimel a digle midbar. If someone is in a massively busy area, but this area has a roof, then you are potter from being metaltel dalet amois, theoretically b'shul rabbi. You're potter. Any b'shul rabbi has all the other criteria, characteristics of b'shul rabbi, has a roof. It's not b'shul rabbi. Why? Because it's not doimel a digle midbar. Again, we're learning the description of the reshuyos from the Mishkan, from the Machane of Klal Yisrael at that time. And one of the characteristics of the Machane of Klal Yisrael was they didn't have a roof. Any reshus that has a roof is not similar to reshus harabim, to the way that Machane Yisrael was in the time of the Midbar. That is Gemara number two. Gemara number three, Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Kaimelon Derech Rishus HaRabim Sheish Esrei Amo. We learn that Rishus HaRabim needs to be 16 amos wide. How do you know this? Because the Agola, the cart upon which the Klal Yisrael put the planks to build the Mishkan, these carts were 5 amos wide. So the way Klal Yisrael used to travel was they had a cart 5 amos wide, 5 amos gap in the middle, and then another 5 amos for two carts traveling parallel to each other. Ask the Gemara, it's 5, 10, 15, where's 16? Says the Gemara, there's another half amos on the outer edge next to the cart, where if a Levi would see one of the planks falling off the cart, the Levi could quickly squeeze himself into this area to lift up, to stop, to prevent the planks from falling. That's another half amma on each side, on each outer side of the cart. So that altogether equals 16. So those are the three Gemaras that we have about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the Mishkan, or in Machane Yisrael, what the Gemara calls Digle Midbar, because clearly the Machane was defined by the Golem that were there. Those are three Gemaras we have, not more, not less. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, these are three Gemaras that I found describing the Machane Yisrael at the time of the Mishkan. So now, what Gemaras do we have about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? The Gemara describing what it was in the Mishkan, we have three things we can learn. Number one, Hakol Mitzuyin Etzel Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a large presence of people. Number two, it was no roof. And number three, it was Sheishes Re'ama. That's it. Now, what else do Chazal say, halacha-wise? Shulchan Aruch Dik, what do Chazal say describing Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So that here we come to the Gemara on Shabbos, Dav Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Shabbos says, Dalid Rosh Yoyis HaShabbos, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Kamaris Mokom Poto. The Gemara describes each one. The Gemara says, what is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? It says, Sratio Uplatio Gedoilo Umavuis Hamufuloshin Umavuis Hamufuloshin Zuhi Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's it. We have a stratia. What's a stratia? Says Rashi, a long motorway going from ear to ear. We have a platia, which is the central square of a city where they gather for business. And we have a mavui mafulush. We have a smaller road. Says Rashi, it has to be 16 amas wide. That is open on both sides to one of the aforementioned Rishuyos, Stratia or Platia. That's what we have in the Gemara describing what Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is. Stratia, Platia, motorways and large squares for that are used where everyone gathers for business, and roads that connect these two kinds of vast Rishuyos together. Agav, to skip to the end of the story, there's a beautiful Oruch HaShulchan in Simon Reish Mem Hei, where he says the following Hakira on this Gemara. That which, because it's very strange if you think about it, why does the Gemara name the Rosh Hashanah Rabbims? Why does it say motorways and public and the central square of a town? And then it says, and the roads that connect the two. Why does the Gemara say that? Just say, as we learned before, hasn't got a roof, and it's 16 amas, and there are many people there. Why does the Gemara give names to them? Says the Oruch HaShulchan, and he, in his typically iconoclastic way, is the only one that says this, even though to me it sounds very Misyashi Valalev, he says that even if you have the criteria of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, i.e. Sheisrei Amo, there's no roof, and there's many people there, it needs to be me'al or me'eva that. It needs to be such an amount of rabbin, such a huge amount of rabbin, that everyone says, ah, yes, this is, you know, this is whatever that square is in London. I don't even know what it's called, where all the billboards are. I don't know, in New York it's Times Square, right? That sorry? Leicester Square or Trafalgar Square. It's not the one I meant, actually, by the Piccadilly. Piccadilly Circus, yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is. So... every city has one of these places, and the M25, the M1, that's it. Even if you have the other criteria of 16 amas wide, and you've got many people there, and there's no roof, has to be the centrally busy place. That's what the Oruch HaShulchan says. But now, so far, we've learnt, essentially, what we found in the Mishkan, what the Gemara says, again, Sheikh Triyama, busy, and no roof. That's it. That's all we've learned so far. So now, when we open our Maseches Erevin, they moved my Gemara. Yeah, I use this. There's a friend of mine, don't mind. Okay. Now, we open our Gemara in Erevin, also providentially Daf Vav. And the Gemara in Erevin also understands what Reshus HaRabim is. Says Rashi, Reshus HaRabim, the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. Mashma, Rochav Sheish Yisrei Amo. Great. Mashma, what's the connotation of Reshus HaRabim? Sheish Yisrei Amo, that's fantastic. Then continues Rashi. Ve'ir Shematsuyin Bo Shishim Rivoy. What's another kind of Reshus HaRabim? A city that has 600,000. Where did Rashi get that from? No mention in what there was in the Mishkan, in the Gemara on Shabbos, Vav Amud Aleph, Dalev and Shuris to Shabbos, Ir Shematsuyin Bo Shishim Rivoy. Where on earth did Rashi make up this criteria? Furthermore, Rashi says, Shahoya Reshus HaRabim Shelo, Mechuvun Mishar L'Shar, Shiyehei Mefunash Domino Digle Midbar. Also, its Reshus HaRabim needs to be Mechuvun, equal, opposite, from gate to gate, similar to Digle Midbar. Another condition, that the Reshus HaRabim needs to be its beginning and its end need to be opposite each other. Again, total mystery. Domina digle midbar. Let's take the second criterion first. The Mishnah in Erevin Nuntes Amud Aleph says the follows. In the Mishnah in Erevin Nuntes Amud Aleph, we have a fascinating din. We have a Mishnah which distinguishes between an ir shel yochid and an ir shel rabin. No more description is given. We have an ir shel yochid and an ir shel rabin. What's the nafkamina between these two kinds of ayorois? One kind of ir you're allowed to make an eruv in the whole city. That's ir shel yochid. Another kind of eruv, you need to distinguish it in the way you make its eruv, so you shouldn't confuse it with shus rabin. That's fine. But it's called an ir shel rabim. In other words, even after you make an eruv to make it not reshus harabim, potentially if that's the pshat, there's still the way you make its eruv is different. Okay, but without going in too much into the pirtei dinim of this Mishnah, you have two kinds of cities, ir shel yochid, ir shel rabim. What's ir shel yochid, ir shel rabim? Says Rashi, ir shel yochid, sheloi hoyu nichnosin bo tomid, the first Rashi on the Mishnah, that there wasn't 600,000 people entering it constantly. Since they're not 600,000 people in this city, it's not Reshus HaRabim because it's not similar to Digle Midbar. Now there's no Chazal describing how in the Mishkan there was Shishim Rivoy. Constantly, there's no chazal like that that says that was one of the absolute criteria of Reshus HaRabim. But we have a Mishnah that distinguishes between Ir Shel Yochid v'Ir Shel Rabim, and Rashi's forced to say, well, what must be the pshat in Ir Shel Rabim? It must be where a kind of city where you have 600,000 people. Must be, that's the pshat in Ir Shel Rabim, and it's more chomo than Ir Shel Yochid because this Ir is Reshus HaRabim. Vice dois, it seems to be that one of that to be a Reshus HaRabim, you need to have Shishim Rivoy. That's what Rashi says. The Gemara also speaks about Pesach Echod versus two Psochim, where you have one entrance to this city versus another entrance, says Rashi. If you have only one entrance, the top Rashi in the Testament base says, if you have one entrance, Lo Domino Digle Midbar. Again, not that we have a Gemara that describes, oh, this is how it was in the Mishkan, but rather because there's a din that comes up in the Gemara that you need to distinguish between one kind of place and another kind of place. Rashi says, the Gemara's adding characteristic descriptions about what it was like in the Machane Yisrael, what it was like with Digle Midbar. So we learn, Al Korcheinu, we learn from this Mishnah two other criteria. To be Reshus HaRabim, number one, it needs to be Shishim Rivoy, and number two, it needs to be that the two Shorim, the two entrances, or the two beginnings and ends of Reshus HaRabim, are opposite each other. Now, if you open your Rambam, Perek Yudalit, Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam speaks about what is Rishus Rabbim, you won't find any of this. But for any mention, all you'll find in the Rambam is the first, really, two dinim that we described. You need to have, it needs to be 16 amos wide, and it can't have a roof. That is all the Rambam says to describe what is Rishus Rabbim. What's the Machalukas Rashi Rambam? Very simple. What is the Pshat in the Mishnah on Nun Tes Amud Aleph? Rashi learns that Irish Shel Yochid versus an Irish Shel Rabbim is, the Irish Shel Rabbim is when you have 600,000. An Irish Shel Yochid when you don't have 600,000. The Rambam learns, Irish Shel Yochid, Irish Shel Rabbim, the Rambam says in Perish Mishnah, also in Yad HaZokah, the distinction is, and it's in a way better in the words, who does the city belong to? If you have a tycoon who owns the entire town, sounds familiar? If you have a who owns the entire city, that is Irish Shel Yochid, and that is also takes you away from being Rishus HaRabim. Who the place belongs to. If you have a place that's humming full of people, millions of people, but it belongs to one person, that's also not Rishus HaRabim. Whereas if you have Irish HaRabim, an ear that is multiply owned, is owned by many people, then it's also more similar to just a rabbi. So, according to the Rambam, there's no mention anywhere about this requirement of Shishim Rivoy and the opposite entrances. There's no mention whatsoever. So therefore, in the Rambam, just a rabbi, you don't have this requirement of Shishim Rivoy. So now here's where things get very exciting. So firstly, just to speak about this din, the second din of Rashi, where the Shorim need to be opposite each other. So this Rashi in Erevin Davov Med Aleph is a hard read. It's a very hard read. And it's not clear what Rashi's saying. But Moshe Feinstein essentially has the Chakira to boil it down to this, which is, that which you need two open gates, is that talking about a city that has walls? Or is it talking about even if the city doesn't have walls? With the connotation being very different.
If you don't have a gate, how can you have
without
walls?
So the point is the this din of Rashi, you need two opposite gates, is that saying this point, that you're in a walled city, and if you're in the middle of the city, to be considered Rishus HaRabim, the two gates need to be opposite each other. Because if they weren't opposite each other, so then you're surrounded by more than two walls. So really, you're not in Rishus HaRabim. But let's say, well, we don't have it in this building. Let's say you're standing in the middle of a city. Now, the city, definitely in those days, had many walls. So, you're in Rishus HaYochid, right? No problem. But what if you've got an opening facing you and an opening exactly behind you? So, you don't actually have four walls surrounding you anymore. Because to your north and to your south, there are entrances. To your west and to your east, there you have walls. But facing you and behind you, you don't have any walls. So, is that what Rashi's saying? In other words, he's not adding a condition to be considered Rishus HaRabim. He's saying, if you happen to be in a busy area of the city, and you have, to the north and to the south, an opening, then it can be considered your Rishus HaRabim, because you only have two walls surrounding you. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, no, there's an extra condition that the Rishus HaRabim essentially needs to be straight. If the Rishus HaRabim is bending, and its beginning and its end are not opposite each other, so that's not Rishus HaRabim. Tremendous nafkamina. I don't know if you've heard of it, but in London apparently there's a road called the North Circular. That the North Circular is straight or bendy?
Bendy.
So depending on these two pshatim and Rashi, will be whether you consider the North Circular Rishus HaRabim before we get into the Shishim Rivoy. If the pshat in Rashi that you need the openings, the beginnings and the end of Rishus HaRabim opposite each other is talking about a city that has walls, And that's the only way you're only surrounded by two walls as opposed to four walls, then obviously it's not relevant to any other Rishus Rabbim that hasn't got walls. But if the Pshat in Rashi is we have another din that's saying that to be similar to the Digle Midbar, it needs to be, you know, kind of Roman road-esque, and any road that has twists and turns is not really as powerful, significant as the other kinds of roads, so then the North Circular will also not be Rishus Rabbim for that reasoning. Now, Shishim Rivoy. What's the pshat in this din of Rashi that you need Shishim Rivoy? So the Ritva asks a kasha on Rashi, where he brings Rabbeinu Tam, asks a kasha on Rashi, because the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes is speaking about Ir Shel Yochid or Ir Shel Rabbim. And the Mishnah speaks about an Ir Shel Yochid that becomes an Ir Shel Rabbim, or an Ir Shel Rabbim that becomes a Rishus HaYochid. So Rabbeinu Tam asks a kasha on Rashi. If you're saying to be an Ir Shel Rabbim, it needs to be, what's the point that's being made is you have 600,000 people, then how will you ever have a city that starts off in its creation as an Ir Shel Rabbim and then becomes an Ir Shel Yochid? Cities don't just start with 600,000 people. It's not an engineered city in the deserts of Saudi Arabia where you just decide, replonk 600,000 people, especially in the times of Chazal. Where would you have such a place, Os Rabbeinu Tam? Obviously, therefore, Ir Shel Rabbim doesn't mean 600,000 people. The Mishnah, yeah?
It won't be an Ir Shel Rabbim until there are 600,000.
No, but the Mishnah describes a scenario where you have the Mishnah in its founding, was 600, had 600,000 people.
I just saying its founding, that's
all. That's it. That's the pashtus of the Mishnah. Ir Shel Rabbim, Shenas Shel Yochid. Ah, yes, you're saying, how is it? In fact, I'm not sure. Hey, good question. I know. That's what Rabbeinu Tam asks. And Rabbeinu Tam therefore says you have to say a different pshat in Ir Shel Rabbim. Now, the Ritva on that sugya and the Bir Alocha on in Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin, who's discussing, that's the Sif that discusses Ir Shel Rabbim, brings this Ritva. The Ritva says, the even Shitas Rashi, Shesover the Be'inam Shishim Rivoy, within Shitas Rashi, that you need 600,000, the Ritva explains what that means. Says the Ritva, and this is his Loshon, Eino matrich sheish yashvu ba'ir shishim riboy, elo sheyikonsu bo shishim riboy. Ke'elu akrachim ayoro sheim pchusim l'mekoyim yishavi rugilim bo seicherim mekoyotze bohem. This 600,000 doesn't mean you have constantly 600,000 people there. Rather, you have 600,000 people entering and exiting, coming in, going out, involved with this city. It doesn't mean constantly there. It means you have 600,000 involved. That is how the Ritva understands Rashi. And says the Mishnah Berurah, you know, this makes much more sense because we know that the Mekoshesh Eitzim in the end of Parshas Emor was Mechalo Shabbos, and one of the Pshotim that the Gemara gives, why is Mekoshesh Eitzim Mechalo Shabbos? Because he did Melechit Hoitzah. So if we're saying, according to Rashi, that the 600,000 is every day you have 600,000 people right there, so then the Mekoshesh Eitzim was being Mechalo Shabbos before Hesi in front of everyone? No. Mekoshesh Eitzim was at the end, towards the perimeter, the outside area of what can be considered Rishus HaRabim. Where, if it's Shishim Rivoy the whole time, it doesn't make sense, but if it's Shishim Rivoy, if it's an area used potentially by Shishim Rivoy, it makes more sense. That's what the Ritva says in Rashi. But now we have, in the last minute, a Shulchan Aruch that is a huge pella, an absolute, a wondrous surprise, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings in Siv Zayin, the Rambam, without Shishim Rivoy. And then Shulchan Aruch brings Rashi, Shishim Rivoy. And we'll look at here the way he puts it. V'yesh oimrim, Shekol she'ein shishim riboy ovrim boy b'chol yoyim ein lo rishus rabim. Any place where you haven't got 600,000 people passing there every day is not rishus rabim. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this condition from? Rashi learns shishim riboy from irishus rabim. That's fine. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get the concept of ovrim boy b'chol yoyim? Shishim riboy. Doesn't say that anywhere. Rashi says, Mutsuyin Shishim Riboy. And the Ritva says, it doesn't mean constantly found there, it means people that have, you have 600,000 people that have a connection to a certain place. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this concept of Ovrim Boy B'chol Yoyim? Because the point of a Shushan Rabim has nothing to do with a place where people are travelling. That's not the description of a Shushan Rabim. It's a square in a city. Could be a road, could be a mavoi. It's nothing to do with Ovrim Boy. It's not a place where people travel. It's a place where people are. Look what Rashi says in Erev in Davov. Ir shematsuyim bo. Again, also Rashi in Erev in Nuntes. It's a ir shematsuyim bo. It's a place where people are, not a place where people travel. So this Shulchan Aruch changed Jewish history forever, where he said that the Shishim Riboy is somewhere where you are Ovrim Boy B'chol Yoyim. It's a mystery where he got it from. And Belsky has an interesting horror where he says that even the most busy roads in the history of humanity, take Ocean Parkway in New York today, you know how many people travel every day on that road? Less than 300,000. You look at the busiest roads, the busiest places in the world where you have Ovrim Boy, you'll never hit anywhere near 600,000. So you're telling me in the times of antiquity, where Chazal are referring to, you had places where you had 600,000 people traveling every day? Lehoi v'le nivro, it's absolutely impossible. L'anias daiti, the Pshat and the Shulchan Aruch is poshut. What all the Shulchan Aruch is doing is paraphrasing the first Rashi in Irsha Yochid, Nun Tes and Medalef. Rashi says, "Sheloi hoyu nichnosin bo tomid shishim riboy shel bnei odom." He didn't have 600,000 people entering this place constantly. I think when the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ani yastaiti," I think when the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ovrim boy b'chol yoyim," he doesn't mean literally to be mechadesh adin that there needs to be 600,000 people traveling on this Shushan Rabim every day. That's not what he means to say. Where would he get such a din from? Rather, he's paraphrasing Rashi. They were not constantly, B'chol Yoyim is a paraphrase of Tomid, there weren't 600,000 people constantly being involved with this Mokum.
I used to have a meeting with Rabbi Eisen.